You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR. My brain is electric, but I dig bitches like the best of them. Your trauma, hold on. Come on, my daddy, yes, sir.
Don't forget to tune in tonight at 7 p.m. on News Channel 5 WEWS for a special Dog Pound Report training camp preview special. We break down the offense, the defense. Andy Baskin and myself get you ready for the hottest storylines in training camp. We hear from Josh McCown. We hear from the head coach, Mike Pettine. So a lot of exclusive content tonight only on News Channel 5 at 7 p.m. for the training camp preview special. Billy Wynn's still with us here, Billy. It's good to have you here. We're waiting for the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, Mike Pettine. We'll go live to his press conference once he gets here. And let me ask you this, Billy. You're on the D-line right now. The mantra, everybody, all they talk about, stop the run. From what you've seen so far this offseason, how confident are you that this front is going to stop the run in 2015?
Oh, very, very confident. But it's all dictated on the amount of work that we're willing to put in. And I think we have the right amount of guys and the right guys to do that this year.
We talked a lot earlier today, and Matt was talking about it too. When you come in on this day, you kind of get that first speech from the head coach.
Yeah.
It kind of set the tone for the whole season. What do you guys? What are your expectations with Mike Pettine on that? And what kind of a coach has he been? And how have you seen him grow in his second year?
I mean, it's still the same expectations we had last year of him. I mean, Pett's a very consistent coach, and as long as he keeps harping on the same things he harped on last year, it's up to us to make a change.
Just having the addition of Danny Shelton, they went out and used their 12th overall pick on Danny Shelton. From the little that you've seen of him, and I think it was just the mini camp, is he a guy that can be, a game changer in the middle for this defensive front?
Oh, for sure. Danny just brings such an explosive atmosphere to the game. I actually know Danny very well. Me and him had the same defensive line coach in college.
Nice. Okay.
So, my coaches went from Boise over to Washington, so they got him over there. And then me and him are the same agent as well.
Okay.
So, I know quite a bit about Danny, and I get a chance to – talk to him, very often. So, he's a good guy, explosive player, smart, so he's well worth it.
How eager are you to get back to work? You said you were a little bit bored. You've been working out hard. You're down. You look very lean. You look ready. I mean, is it
in my face?
You're looking good. Quite handsome. Unfortunately, you're not on TV.
So he was saying prior to this, you were had a fat face.
No, I never said that. The mohawk is gone. You look very ready to get down to business.
Yeah, well, I was starting to look homeless, so I had to trim the beard down, cut the mohawk off.
I did the same.
Where'd your beard go? It was such
gone,
a great beard yesterday.
It's gone.
You had a great beard yesterday. Now
I
it's gone.
Do TV stuff.
Oh.
But we're in the booth. There's no video here.
But after the show. The Browns Huddle, ClevelandBrowns.com, Browns mobile app, of course.
I'll watch that. I'll go to my iTunes store and go get that app.
Yeah, check that out,
my
please.
App store.
Yeah, you got to get the Browns mobile. You should have the Browns mobile that barks at you.
Wait, they have an app that barks at you?
Yeah, like whenever there's news, it's like,
How does it sound?
I kid you not. And speaking of, that's the sound for breaking news. We're going live now to the podium where Mike Pettine will make his pre-training camp press conference. It starts now.
Obviously, this is always an exciting day for us. Great to see the guys all back in the building. We're excited about getting on the field tomorrow. And for us, training camp signifies something. An opportunity to get back and really get tunnel vision on football and to continue the process of building and improving the team. And that's really going to be our theme this year is that it's concentrated football. With all the talk that surrounds it, whether that's talk coming from us or external, that the theme for this year is really going to be words into action. A lot of stuff gets put out there, and we put a lot of pressure on ourselves, and we talk about it. But the theme this year is really to have that continue onto the field. So we have a lot of work to do, and we have a plan for how we're going to implement it and for how we can hit our peak when we go down in September to play the Jets. Defensively, very high standards. We talk about goals and objectives, and then with the potential word has been used a lot of how good we can be. I believe in our players. I believe in our scheme. Believe in our coaches. But we need to put that work in to make sure that potential, you know, turns into real results, real results on the field. You know, obviously our coaches and players understand that. You know, offensively, it's about building identity. I thought we did an outstanding job in the spring of teaching and implementing what we're going to do. You know, and talking with Flip and going through, you know, looking back through the installation, that's well over 90% of what we will run this fall was put in the spring. The only thing that really remains are, you know, a handful of new concepts, and then a lot of our special situations that we did not get a chance to practice in the spring, you know, the goal line and the short yardage stuff that you don't want to practice when you don't have pads on. But I was very pleased with the progress that we made. But the next step is to now circle back and implement that installation in pads, you know, real football, as we like to say. So I'm very pleased with the plan, where we are, but know that there's a lot of work to get done between now and the opener. Special teams front, you know, we were obviously very pleased to add Andy Lee, and we got a glimpse in the spring of what he's all about. And then obviously the kicking battle that we have shaping up between Carey and Travis. So we're looking forward to putting those guys in some pressure situations and seeing how they respond. On the injury front, I did talk about this a little bit earlier. We're very encouraged by the progress of our guys that are coming off injuries. We're going to be very smart about how we handle it. Some of the guys that will be out there, we're very aware of their pitch count, and we'll have them on a limited basis of how we work them in. We do have the two drafted rookies that are going to start on PUP, Efo and Telfer. They're not going to be participating in training camp. We knew this would be the case when they were drafted. Efo is highly unlikely to ever be available this season. We know that that's a long recovery for him. You know, Telfer will be he's made good progress, and the you know, the date that we're thinking there is more going to be around midseason, that we'll get that window to evaluate him and see where he is. But very confident in both those guys' recovery, just because of how hard they've worked so far and their character and how they've approached it. You know, other than that, you know, just it's the excitement that we're all sensing. And as I said, it's concentrated football for us, that we get a chance now to really, you know, wake up in the morning, and it's an all-day thing. So we really look at this as an opportunity for the Cleveland Browns to get better.
Mike, what's realistic for this team? Do you have a number in your head in terms
of record? No. 1-0. I mean, I know it's a coaching cliche type thing, but I've never been one to want to throw out numbers. That successful seasons come in all shapes and sizes. And like any other team, that we're confident that if things fall right, that we can be right there in the discussion at the end. When we were sitting at 7-4 and you know, had battled to get to that point, and unfortunately things didn't finish the way that we wanted to. But there's no reason to think that we can't be in that conversation at the end of the year this year.
Mike, can you give any highlights or even lowlights of the conditioning? Did everyone pass?
Haven't had it yet.
Oh, you have.
It'll be later this afternoon.
Will we see that or not?
No.
Why? You did make a change.
I did. I talked about subtle tweaks to training camp. That's one of them.
You don't want to see guys thrown up on TV or what?
No, it's just you know, we discussed it organizationally, that the benefits and the negatives to it, and it was just something we decided this year not to do.
Will we be informed if anyone did not pass?
Well, you'll know from just who's NFI. Who didn't make it, that we decided to hold back.
And those will come out by the end of today.
Yeah, that should be. If not today, it'll be first thing tomorrow.
I'm sorry, I take it everybody reported.
Well, we're still in the window that are guys coming in, but I haven't heard of anybody who called ahead and said, hey, I'm not coming in. So we're expecting everybody here.
Sorry. Rookies, injured veterans, and quarterbacks, did they take the conditioning test already?
Yes.
Everybody pass.
Yes.
Groups.
Yeah. There were a couple guys that we felt were at risk. You know, the lineman that we signed, what's the Delaware kid, who we felt like we didn't have him to really get a good evaluation some of the guys that were at risk that we would have held them out and put them in an extra running program as opposed to, oh, hey, welcome to Cleveland, jump out here and run the test. So it's the guys that are running the test were the ones that were here all spring. They got a chance to know what it is, prepare for it. So there'll be some guys that'll be off to the side. Armani and Phil are not going to run it. We'll ease them in. They'll be in an extra conditioning group. So some of the guys that we would feel that being at risk, that we would go ahead and hold them out.
Mike, is there a competition you're most looking forward to as training camp begins?
I don't know if I can pinpoint just one, because I think that's one of the things where we feel we're in a good place, that we've generated a lot of competition at a lot of different spots. And I think that's where you get better as a football team. So, I mean, there's a lot of different places. You could start right, you know, with Cam Irvin competing with those established five starters. That's one. You look at the running backs as another one. You look at the competition, the wide receiver room. We're very deep at tight end. There'll be some competition there. I just think there's a lot of spots. You know, defensively, that all those guys in the D-line compete for playing time. The outside backer room where we made some changes to. You know, Scott Solomon coming on late and drafting Nate Orchard to challenge, you know, Mingo, and Armani's going to get some work a little bit. We're going to kind of cross train him between defensive line and outside backer, and obviously we have Kruger coming off a very successful season. So and I already referenced the kicking competition. So I think any time that you can have that, there is no better motivator than competition. That's why I think we're all looking forward to a lot of those battles unfold as camp goes on.
Can you say how Pryor ended up with number 87? Was it his choice? Was it just assigned?
I would say it was his choice. He was offered a couple numbers that were available, and 87 was the one he chose.
Coach, the defensive back, Ifo.
Mm-hmm.
Get the rest of the names later, but
Ifo, that's all I know. Okay. I know there's a couple hyphens in there, too.
Is it the seriousness of his injury or when the injury happened?
I would say it's both. It is both. I don't think it was just a pure ACL. There were other ligaments involved, and I think a dislocation as well. So, and then obviously it happening during bowl practice. So I think it's a combination of both. But people that have had, players that have had this injury before, I mean, that's not a, you don't, it's rare that you would return that next season. So given our depth, that we're very comfortable with him sitting out, and it's just one that we just felt that it was a low risk, high reward move when we took him in the seventh round. So if he can hit, there's no reason to rush it back is what I'm saying, given the depth in that room now anyway.
You mentioned pitch counts with some of the guys coming back. Phil Taylor, Alex Mack obviously headline that list. Are both absolute full go, or will you have them on the pitch count right from day one?
No, they'll be on a pitch count, but a lot of it is that just that communication with them. How do you feel? And just some of the telltale signs. If they come in the next day and there's a little bit of swelling or some tenderness to it, then you can certainly hold them back. So that's on them to communicate well with us, and that communication with the guys in the training room. But we'll see. The opener's a long way away, and that's why we're not in any rush to just jump out here and start giving those guys full workloads. And then also, as we've always done, just looking at some of the veteran players, being smart with them, whether it's, you know, that comes in two forms, whether we give them a complete day off. As we've done with Joe Thomas, or whether it's just monitoring them, hey, listen, go ahead and get ramped up. We'll give you your full speed reps early in practice, and then we'll go ahead and shut you down. So there'll be guys that will fall into both categories.
And you don't go into full pads for 3 days, is that correct?
Yeah, there's the acclimation period. So I think today counts as one. I think Saturday is the first day that we're allowed to be in pads.
And you will anticipate being in full pads?
Absolutely.
Hey, Mike, you said the other day that you would use the low expectations outside the building to motivate your players. Does that conversation begin with them today?
It does. I get a chance to meet with them later today, and we just kind of to outline it. And again, it's nobody wants to be disrespectful. I mean, disrespected. It's a prideful group, and I just see it as a motivating thing. I mean, we were. You know, had two wins over division opponents last year by 21 points, and we just feel that our best path to get to where we want to be is through the division. we played well enough at times to be in that conversation, and other times we didn't. And I think so much of the NFL is every team's capable, but who can do it consistently and who can do it the longest? And I think that's where we have to take that next step this year.
Mike, are there any changes, notable changes to the depth chart, guys getting reps with the first team that's a lot different than minicamp?
Nothing jumps out to me at this point. I mean, we're going to roll a lot of guys, especially early in camp, that as we get closer to the opener, that you want that continuity of units playing together. But given our depth this year, I mean, I can see us, you know, having, you can almost look at it as, hey, you got 13, 14, depending on the personnel group, you got 13, 14, 15 starters on each side of the ball.
Mike, what did you think of Bruce Arians hiring the first female assistant coach, at least on an interim basis, and would you be open to doing something like that here?
Sure. I mean, it's about qualifications, and I know Jen is qualified, and I'm friends with Bruce. I think it's great that he did it. He's certainly one that's never shied away from out of the box thinking, and you know, I'll be curious to see how that plays out.
The other big story is Brady, and since you competed against him for so much, what's your reaction to his four-game suspension being upheld?
Yeah, it's something I don't want to get too caught up into. I think we all have our opinions on it. I'm not in the know to all the details. I just have a lot of respect for that organization, especially Coach Belichick, having gone against him so many times, and certainly a ton of respect for Tom. And I don't have all the facts. Sometimes that's hard to try to, you know, come offer an opinion or have judgment on something that when you don't have all the intimate details of it.
Mike, coming into camp, 12 drafted rookies. In years past, if you were drafted by the Browns in April, you were pretty much guaranteed a roster spot. That's not the case this year. What is your message to your rookie class coming into this camp?
That was something when we opened rookie camp. That was something I talked about with them. That there's no such thing as being on scholarship, you know, other than the guys that were hurt that know they have their rehab to take care of, but those other guys that all they have to do is look around and do the math. That there's no guarantees. You look at guys last year that were undrafted that made it, and I think that's the mistake rookies can make. Sometimes they can assume they're not going to make it, and that's just as bad as assuming they are going to make it. So we very much operate on what have you done lately. And that's why, you know, life in the NFL can be a day-to-day thing. So guys have to know that, hey, they got to come in here and every day put in the work, put in the effort, show up with a great attitude, we'll see how it plays out. But very, very happy with that draft class so far. I mentioned this in the spring, that every single one of them, and that's continued here in these few days that we've had them, they've all showed reasons why we brought them here. And that's one of the reasons we're so encouraged, you know, about the competition thing that we already talked about, is some of these guys have come in and there's going to be some interesting battles with rookies competing with veterans for playing time.
And Mike, how is the eve of training camp different for you from rookie coach to year two?
I don't think it's that much different. There's probably a little less angst. I spent late yesterday afternoon. Anyway, we had our coaches staff golf outing. We call it Clubs Away Day. So it's, we get to play one more time and put the clubs away. And it also validated that it's encouraging as a head coach when the scores aren't very good, that we have guys focusing on football and not on their golf game. So it's an annual event for us. It went very well, but. No, it's something I'm excited about. It's just kind of just getting rejuvenated, and the staff all came back very well rested from break, and we're all very much looking forward to going. It's always tough in the beginning because you're kind of easing your way in, and you feel like camp really doesn't even start till you get the pads on. But it's something that we've had circled on the calendar for a long time, and can't wait to get started.
Mike, you mentioned making progress in your division. You know, yours is the one team that doesn't have an established quarterback in the division. So how do you do that?
Well, because we're, you know, it's 11 players out there at a time. It's not just one, and that's and we've talked about this for, we have a lot of confidence in all of our players, and we go out there and we showed last year that we could be very competitive in the division. You know, splitting with Pittsburgh and how the if you look how the last six quarters against them went, and then you look at how well we played against Cincinnati, and then they returned the favor up here. We feel we certainly can compete with them. And then we had fourth quarter leads in both Baltimore games. So it's not like we feel like we're staring up a mountain at the division. To me, it's the exact opposite. I mean, that's we're very much looking forward to when those games are played. And like I said, that's if you want to get to where your ultimate goal, that's the most direct route to it. So we spent a lot of our focus as a coaching staff on the division opponents this offseason. And it's our players will certainly know the level of importance that each of those games hold.
Mike, word was in minicamp that Cam Irving would start camp at right guard. Is that still true? And also, why that position in light of the fact that Greco seemed to play pretty well for you last year?
And just evaluating it, just felt like that's a good starting point. But we're still going to move him around. When we talked about this, the days off with Joe. That's a good opportunity to move Cam around, and he's also shown that he can handle moving around. He proved it in college. You run the danger of, hey, the guy gets spread too thin, and now he's jack of all trades, master of none. But we felt just in looking at it that was the best in evaluating it. That was the best position. But we're, Camp is a, it's a long process. So that's not etched in stone that, hey, listen, that's where he's going to be. That's where he's going to stay. It gives us the ability to mix and match. But as I said, as camp goes on, we'll settle on the lineup that we feel will be out there on day one.
That's no reflection on Greco, right?
It's no reflection on Greco.
Given the fact that the quarterback's new, the receiver's a new tight end, Hausler, et cetera, new coordinator, so much new, what kind of a vision with all of that as the backdrop do you have for the passing game?
Well, a lot of it's new, but there's a lot of carryover from last year, and we still return from you talk about the pass game. It starts with the protection, and it's great having Coach Moeller and Coach DeLeon back, and those five starters plus a Cam Irving from a protection standpoint. That's where it all starts, and then you look at we do have numerous guys back, whether it's the two backs, and then you got Dre, you got Barnage, you got Hawk, you got Travis, you got Taylor. Guys that were contributors for us last year in the pass game, so it's not like we're starting from scratch. And I feel good about the football aptitude of this group. It's a very intelligent group. We were able to put in a lot. Like I said, we're 90%+ installed, and a lot of it is familiar concepts from a year ago. If it was the same thing, it might be called something different or just a subtle tweak in the terminology. But for the most part, it's a large part of what we're doing now. Is carried over from last year, so I'm confident that our pass game will be where we want it to be week one.
What do you think of Josh McCown, making sure that he could get some work in with Terrell Pryor, and just what have you learned about McCown in terms of what you're getting from a leadership standpoint?
He's the same guy every day, and he's all about football. He's all about the team. He's all about winning, and that for him to take time from his, during his break. To work out with Terrell, speaks to his character, and even just a few days we've had him since he's been back, just he's picked it up right where he left off, and whether it's with me or whether it's with Flip or Kevin, that the conversations are always positive. They're about football, and they're all about the Browns getting better.
Mike, Alex Shiner has said that the decision on whether to move training camp to Columbus, not just the scrimmage, in the future, move to Columbus would be a football decision. So you've been through this one time here now. Do you have any quibbles about the operation of having camp here in Berea?
Why do you not want to move? Is this why you're asking? Do you want to not have to make that drive down 71?
I'm just saying. I mean, is it based on football or is it something else?
No, it's absolutely based on football. I was fortunate. I felt fortunate when I was in Baltimore. We went away to McDaniel College, which used to be Western Maryland, but it wasn't that far away. It was a half hour. When I was with the Jets, we went away to Cortland, in every year except for the year of the lockout. And then when I was with the Bills, we went away to St. John Fisher. And I know I've spoken on this before, but I like to compartmentalize the year. It's just tough to be on your same fields and your same meeting room, and everything's the same, and you're just kind of say, okay, this is training camp now, and now it's not training camp anymore. Whereas physically being away helps the players from a standpoint of, hey, it signals a change in atmosphere. It really does force you to have ton. It's I don't want to say shared misery, because a lot of guys, they bring their own beds and their TVs and all their own, so I don't know how miserable they are when we talk about shared misery. But just being away, it signifies something. And I like that, because it helps it, you know, at night when guys, there's nothing else to do, and you're building a team. It's camaraderie. Guys are doing stuff together. And then I also think it gives another area, whether it was Westminster, Maryland, or Rochester, New York, or Cortland, as it would do to Columbus, is you are given an opportunity for another area to come see you. So I didn't know any better, and that's one of the things, I brought it up here and researched it and saw that it was feasible to do. So we'll see how that plays out.
Thanks, Mike.
Sure.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank
you.
Is our boat down in training?
Yeah. Yeah, that answer would be yes.
Off the right.